I always try to be careful with these microphones. I try to be gentle with them. I don't want to leave here owing your church a new microphone, I try to be careful with them. But we really appreciate being here this week. We've enjoyed ourselves. Amen. Nothing wrong with that. And it's been good. And to see people in a church that's excited about pleasing the Lord and seeing what He has for them, boy, that's a real blessing. And so we're really happy that we get to kind of begin our year with you and we get to end our year with you. And so that'll be great. Yeah, could you bring that up? Thank you. And that'll just be fine with us. And so let's see, I'm just going to set this here. And I was running the sound from back there. I don't know why I didn't bring my iPad up here the whole time, but I was running back and forth. Anyway, we'll look forward to that, and of course we'll be praying for you, and in between now and then, we hope that you, as you think of us, do the same for us, and we're all about the same mission, which is encouraging other people to know and to love and to trust Christ and to grow in their knowledge of Him. We live in confusing days, don't we? It's pretty crazy how weird the days we are living in are. I remember when it used to be safe to drink out of a garden hose. Right? I used to ride my bicycle without a helmet. Right? Those were the days. Wow. I remember my friends and I, we would literally, I mean, I know probably comedians and stuff talk about this, but it's true. We would literally, I mean, the street was our playground, you know, and you kept your eyes open. And if a car was coming down the street, one guy said, car. And so, you know, you got out of the way or, you know, whatever, right? And also that meant that you got a free shot. So if you're playing basketball, right? I know it's hard to believe now, but I used to play basketball before I added all this extra insurance traveling, okay? But we'd be playing basketball and someone would say, car, okay, that means the game that you're playing stops and whoever's got the ball gets to shoot a free shot and try to make it, right? I don't know what it meant if you didn't mean it, make it, but I mean, those were ulcer-inducing days, you know? Am I going to make that shot, right? Things have changed. We don't know where to turn for information we can trust. I remember when fat was bad for you, carbohydrates were fuel, breakfast was the most important meal of the day. Now, fat is good for you, carbohydrates are bad for you, and we skip breakfast and call it intermittent fasting. Right? Isn't it crazy? Things are upside down. And even when you turn on the television, you used to turn on the television, you get a pretty good idea of what was going on because it was pretty much news, right? Now, we don't get real news. We get people telling us what we're supposed to think about what they say is the news. And who knows what that's going to be? In a sadder vein, we've seen people we thought to be heroes turn out to be villains in our society and in our culture. Well, what's the need of the hour? I've got a quick question for you. I'm not trying to trap you or trick you. Maybe I'm a little bit. But I just want you to answer, you know, what you would normally answer this question with. What did Solomon ask God for? That's what most people say. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. 1 Kings chapter number 3. I was thinking about this recently, and I asked myself that question, basically. You know, Solomon asked God for wisdom, right? Isn't that what he asked him for? Well, kind of. 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse number 7. Of course, Solomon, he wasn't the oldest son of David, right? There was another, Adonijah, who was actually older than him and was making moves trying to overthrow Solomon, etc. We're not going to get into that. But after all that happens, I mean, in other words, Solomon's already on the throne when this happens, okay, when we get to chapter 3. Excuse me. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. Now, he's not saying I'm, you know, 5 years old, right? He's saying that he's inexperienced in how to rule a nation. I know not how to go out or to come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Here it is. Give therefore thy servant wisdom. Is that what it says? An understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Now, if you keep reading, God's going to give him wisdom, okay? We know that, yes. So if you want to kind of, you know, shorten it and say Solomon asked for wisdom, I guess you could kind of say that. He certainly was the wisest man who ever lived, but that's really not the angle at which he asked. He specifically asked for an understanding heart. Now, I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but as I study this out, I'm trusting my tools, and my tools tell me that literally that word, those words there for understanding heart, it's one word in the Hebrew, and it means a listening heart. Isn't that a neat picture? A listening heart. And in case we don't know what that means, he explains it, that I may discern between good and bad. You know, as I look at the world around us and I see what's going on out there, and we say out there, I mean, it's in here, it's on our phones, it's everywhere. I can't think of a better need of the hour than for an understanding heart. Pastor mentioned that this last night would be something along the lines of leaving a lasting legacy for those who come behind us. And as I look at my kids, and they're now getting to those ages where Miles, I mean, he's going to turn 21, and Elena in just a few weeks is going to turn 19, and we've got our kids, quote unquote, right, growing up, and they're going out and some preparing to go out into the world. What do I want to give them? Well, yeah, we gave them a good family life. That's a good thing. We wanted to provide for their physical needs. That's a good thing. All that type of stuff, schooling, etc. Those are good. But I'm thinking to myself, what's the most important thing? Well, we're going to do an illustration here, and I need some help with this, okay? So actually, Brandon and Darren, you're going to be my helpers, because I didn't know if the young people were going to be in here. So we need two volunteers over here, all right? Yeah, come on up. My glasses aren't on. What's your name?
Tony.
Tony, come on up. You can come on up here. That's great. You want to come up? What's your name? Jeremiah, you come on up. All right, good. Yeah, those will be perfect. Thank you, guys. All right, so my sons are going to help you out. You're going to stay down here on the floor because I think both of you are probably taller than my sons, so they're going to step on these stairs to help you out here. But first of all, give them each, hold them up first, Darren and Brandon. Grab one of these each. Take it out of the package a little bit and try to show people without spilling the pieces what we're dealing with here. We've got, oh, there's pieces all in there. Put it together real quick. We've got two puzzles here. All right, and Tony, you're going to be on this side. So if you want, you can come and stand over here, all right? And you can look at these two guys, all right? You don't have to hide your eyes or anything. You can see them, and you can put the puzzle pieces together. We've got, what do we have? We have a boat. It's for preschoolers, okay? Just so you know, all right? We've got a boat and what? A truck, a fire truck, it looks like. Yeah. What else?
A train.
A purple train. And a plane, all right? Now, once you get that together, try to hold it up so people can see. Can you hold that up a little bit there? Ta-da! All right? So what we're going to do, let's see. I'll give it to Tony first. Which puzzle would you want you guys to do first? We're going to have a race.
Fire truck.
Fire truck, all right. So Darren and Brandon, remove all the fire truck pieces. All four of them. And we're going to get ready to cheer here in a moment, okay? We're going to see who is going to finish this first, all right? You can give them the pieces in their hand, all right? On your mark, get set, go. Here we go. Who's going to win, this side or this side?
Yes!
Tony, just barely. Oh, very nice, very nice. That was really close, wasn't it? That was really, really close. All right, good sportsmanship, though. Look at that. We're going to do it again, this time. Jeremiah, is that what you said your name was?
Yes.
Okay, good. I didn't mean to forget. Which other puzzle do you want to do next?
Train.
We're going to do the train next. Now, don't leave the pieces where they are, but this time, we're going to blindfold you. All right? We're going to blindfold you, all right? So you know how to kind of make that into a blindfold there? All right? Fold it into a blindfold, and we're going to put it around your eyes, and we're going to trust your character here that you're not going to cheat, okay? So we're going to ask if you can see here in a moment after we get that.
Easy.
Yep, and you don't really have to nod it. Yeah, there you go. That's fine. Can you see, Tony? All right, good. Turn around. Jeremiah, can you see? All right, good. All right, go ahead, Brandon and Darren, give them the parts there. Give them the puzzle pieces, and don't put them in their hands yet. Well, actually, you know what? You can. Put it in their hands. I'm going to say, 3, 2, 1, go, and then we'll cheer, and we'll see who gets it done first. Are you ready? On your mark, get set, go. Cheer. Who's going to win? Who's going to win? Here we go. Put it together. Put it together. All right. Who's got it? Who's got it? So close. So close. So close. Oh, my goodness. So close. Jeremiah. All right. You can take your blindfolds off. Give them both a hand. Give them both a hand. Yeah. Yeah. You can do whatever you want with that at the moment. There you go. There. Good job. Good job. Good job. All right. So Tony won the first one. Jeremiah won the second one. Now, Tony, we do have something we need to tell you. We took his blindfold off.
You liar.
Yeah. So yes, he's going to leave. That's it. All right. Give him a hand again. Give him a hand again. Now, you say, Brother Ben, why would you do that? Okay, it's an illustration, right? What am I trying to illustrate? Oh, and Darren and Brandon, thank you for your help, too. Appreciate that very much. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Hands for them. Good. Now, Tony, I'm just going to ask you, the second time, why did he beat you? What did he have? What could he do that you couldn't at that moment?
His eyes.
That's right. His eyes. He could see. Tony couldn't. I mean, he was getting pretty close, actually. I was getting a little nervous there. I was like, wow. It's like, man. Oh, he wasn't getting close? Oh, he was nowhere close. Okay, it looked like he was.
Two of them were upside down.
They were upside down, yeah. When I do this illustration, I got to figure out a way to put cameras on it so you can see it on the screens, you know. Well, the reason is that one could see and one could not, right? One could see. Tony couldn't see. His eyes were covered. Jeremiah could, his eyes were uncovered. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, would you turn there real quick? Because we're talking about an understanding heart, right? That's the need. That's the need. Well, then why did we do this illustration? Because 2 Corinthians chapter 4 tells us something that's going on, has been going on for a long time, and it's only getting worse. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse number 4, says this: in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, we've got an enemy here that doesn't want us to have understanding. We've got an enemy that doesn't want us to have light. We've got an enemy that doesn't want us to be able to see, and that is the God of this world, and his name is the devil, his name is Satan. He's the great adversary. So as I'm thinking through this, I'm thinking, what is the most important thing that we can leave for the generations behind us? I believe it's this. It's an understanding heart. It's the ability to see. You know, God's word tells us there are two sources of light. They're kind of the same thing and kind of different, but Psalm 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a what unto my path? A what? A light. The Word of God gives us light. And light is also found, John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And Jesus, friends, he is the only source of truth. There's another wonderful passage of Scripture that that some of you probably know and have memorized. Talks about Jesus being the light of the world. Talks about him lighting every man that comes to the world. Listen, we've got to teach our kids about the light. Because if we don't, all they're going to know is darkness. Anne Isabella Thackeray Ritchie wrote this: if you give a man a fish, he's hungry again in an hour. If you teach him to catch a fish, you do him a good turn. In other words, it isn't enough to teach the truth, but how to apply the truth to an ever-changing world. Let's put this all together. Go to one more place, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Let's just review a little bit here. The need of the hour. The hour is confusing. The hour is dark. This world is very dark. People are confused. And it's not just about silly stuff that I was talking to you about, like diets and stuff. I mean, it's far worse than that. People are confused about what's right and wrong. Which way is up? Solomon asked God for an understanding heart so that he could discern. We know that our adversary wants our eyes to be blinded so that we can't see to put the pieces of our life together. That's what we're dealing with, all right? Well, then Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14 puts it all together. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised, there's that word, to discern both good and evil. So Solomon asked, I need to discern, right? Remember that? An understanding heart to discern. And here we are coming across that word again, to discern. What does that mean? Well, that word discern literally means to cut. I don't know how many of you have to, in your jobs or whatever it is, you've got to cut things straight. We mail out our CDs for people who order them. And a lot of the time, I'm sitting there with scissors cutting out the printing labels, etc., right? And I try really hard to stay on the lines, right? And sometimes I think, wow, I haven't moved past kindergarten, right? I'm still here cutting through paper, right? Means to cut things straight. How many of you have played that game Operation? Remember that game Operation? Right? And you've got to put the little, like the funny bone, you either got to take it out or put it in, right? That really messed me up, by the way. I was like, oh, the funny bone. It's literally a funny bone. It's not a funny bone. It's not funny when you hurt it, when you hit it either. But if you don't get exactly right, right? And it gets you. I suppose we could get a more aggressive one where it actually shocks you too, I guess. That would be, some people would be into that. I don't think I would be. But it's the same kind of, can you imagine that? Yeah, there we go. Can you imagine that? It's the same type of idea. It's doing these abilities to discern means you get really good at being able to tell the difference. And that word exercise means that Greek word is the word we get gymnasium from. It means to work out. In other words, you don't just wake up one day with the ability to discern right and wrong. You don't just wake up one day with the ability to understand everything that's going on. It's something that you have to learn how to do. And you know what, friends? Let's put it all together. What does this mean? All right, it means two things. Number one, if we're going to leave a legacy behind us, number one, we need to be able to introduce those who come behind us to the truth of the Word of God of who Jesus Christ is. Because if He is the light of the world, if He is the way, the truth, and the life, we've got to leave a legacy. We've got to introduce them to Jesus. And you know what? It doesn't matter if this is your first time visiting church or you've grown up in church all your life. Each one of us has to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not something that you inherit from your parents. It's not something that you get in a mass setting with a bunch of people. No, it's something that you have to decide for yourself if you're going to trust Christ or not. I was 9 years old when I realized that Jesus died for me individually. See, I'd heard a lot about Jesus dying for the world, right? I mean, a lot of people know that. Jesus died. They don't really know why Jesus died. Oh, Jesus died on the cross. Okay. And I knew somewhat about sin because I'd been learning about it in Sunday school, but that night, in the middle of a thunderstorm, I realized that I personally was a sinner and that I needed Jesus. You know, I can't think of a worse, I don't know there is a worse thing than being a dad who didn't introduce my kids to Jesus. Now, I can't choose Jesus for my kids. I can't make any one of them a Christian. But praise the Lord, at different times in their lives, each one of our kids has professed faith in Jesus. Now, they weren't born with that. In fact, Elena, I'm not going to have her give testimony tonight, but she could tell you that she wasn't saved when she was 5, 6, 7, or 8. Well, how old were you when you got saved?
I forget. It's been 3 years now.
3 years ago. 15. So 15 going on 16, something like that. And she grew up in an evangelist home, right? It wasn't until then that she made it personal. Listen, that's the first step. If we want to be able to have light, If we want our kids to be able to have light, listen, we've got to introduce them to Jesus. That's a non-negotiable. But then the second thing we need to do is we need to not just fish, but teach how to fish. That's the idea of discernment. Okay, what do I mean by that? All right. So we want to learn the truth, but then we want to learn how to apply that truth. And that takes work. I've said this before, maybe I even said it this week, I don't remember, but sometimes I see celebrities, you know, whether it's basketball players, sports players, or people who are popular in culture, whatever it may be, and they trust Christ, and they tell people they've trusted Christ and such, and some people kind of line up on either side of the fence. Some people say, well, no, there's no way that person trusted Christ. They're just trying to get accolades or get more popular with certain people. And then other people say, they're 100% they've trusted Christ, et cetera, et cetera. I think sometimes what happens is some of these people do genuinely trust Christ, but they're not grounded in the things of the Word of God. So they did truly trust Christ, but that's all they know. And so when people ask them questions, they don't exactly know how to answer, or sometimes they may even give a wrong answer. But it's not because they don't love the Lord or that they're not a believer. It's just that they haven't been grounded in the Word of God. And you see, friends, if we want to leave a lasting legacy, I don't want to just introduce my kids to Jesus. I want to teach them all about Him, all about the Word of God, so that they don't have to depend on me to live their life. They don't have to wait for Dad. It's not that I don't want to give advice and counsel, but listen, none of us are assured another day or another week on this planet, and if I were to be called home to heaven for some reason, I want them to be able to have the ability to go to the Word of God for themselves and say, okay, this is how Dad taught me to find the truth and then to apply it to life. And you know what? That takes work, and it's also it's a big reason why the local church is so important. Because that's what we do in the local church. I know a lot of people think that church, well, it's just, you know, it's a nice place to go. I think it's absolutely essential for the Christian. It's so vitally important because that's like the team meeting, right? I'm a big football fan, right? I'm a college football fan mostly. I'm a Michigan State Spartan. Hey now. My parents met at Michigan State. My dad was part of the marching band there. And so as I was growing up, we would go back for alumni band day and all that stuff. And so I grew up around it. So I come by it honestly, all right? You can fill in your favorite team, whatever. But I do know that, and I watch NFL sometimes, right? I enjoy it because I like the sport. Can you imagine what would happen if your quarterback or your wide receivers never went to a team meeting, and they didn't know the plays, right? What would happen? Not good things. Sometimes I wonder if some of the teams that actually happens based on what I see on the field. Did you even go to the meeting? Do you know what play that is? Right? Yeah, I've seen that. It's not a logo, it's a rating. Yeah. Right? The star, right? Yeah. I just split your church. I'm so sorry. Oh, my wife's uncle, Morris Gleiser, is a huge Cowboys fan, and so I haven't had a chance to tease him much, but I don't know. He had cancer recently. Maybe I won't push it. But, you know, the team meeting, no, you got to be at the team meeting so you know the strategy. So when the quarterback calls the play, you know that's a button hook, right? You know that that's this way. If you're blocking, then you block this way. If it's a run play, you do this. And you don't have to be a sports fan to understand the importance of everybody being on the same page and learning and growing and trusting and knowing each other and knowing the truth and how to apply it to life. So when it comes to leaving a lasting legacy, that's why local church is so important, so that we can prepare that next generation and the generation after them and all the in-between generations to know and love the Lord. Yes, that's a big thing, but it goes beyond that. It's what Solomon said, give me an understanding heart. You don't have to turn to this one, but I'll quote it for you, but discernment and understanding are vital for anyone who's going to lead. And we need leaders. 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 32 says this, "And of the children of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do, the heads of them were 200. In other words, there were these guys that really understood the times, what was going on around them. They had understanding hearts. The Bible says, all their brethren were at their commandment. So we kind of had like 200 chiefs, so to speak, and then their kinsmen were at their commandment. In other words, these guys were leaders. And they advised the king, David, on what he should and shouldn't do. And we desperately need that. Well, what kind of men were they? They had understanding of the times. Listen, we cannot have understanding of the times just by going to church on Easter Sunday. Just by stopping by church at Christmas. No, it's got to be a lifestyle. It's got to be something where we're seeing connections in Scripture all around us all the time. I'll tell you, I used to get irritated at my dad for something. I think they're watching at home tonight, so love you, Dad, love you, Mom. But something used to irritate me, and that was when we'd be watching movies, my dad would want to ask questions about the movie afterward. He did it during the movie sometimes, but then I think he switched it to after the movie, which we appreciated. But I never forgot that, because he'd say, okay, now let's talk about the movie. Yeah, I mean, I just want to go play or whatever, right? But what he was doing was he would ask questions. All right, was there wrong done in the movie, right? Okay, what were the consequences? Why did that person think that way? Why did this, that, and the other thing? And it taught me to have a mindset of always thinking through, not just mindless entertainment, but actually thinking through things all the time. So guess what I do to my kids now sometimes? I don't do it all the time. But we'll have conversations saying, okay, I see that. I see where that fits in. Oh, there, communication problem. I mean, any comedy that you watch is going to have a communication problem, right? The Three Stooges have some violence issues that they need to deal with. But that's just a side point. The point of that is simply this. He was training us as kids to start thinking through, to think critically, to think discerningly. I'll close with this. People all around us have lives that are falling apart. Their lives are like the puzzle pieces that we saw, and they don't know how to put them together because they don't have the light. They're being lied to at every turn. Our kids are being lied to constantly. They believe all kinds of deceptions that seem good for a while, but in the end, each lie leaves them more hopeless and desperate than they were at the beginning. How about you, friend? Tonight, do you have a blindfold on trying to make sense of your life? Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? That's the first step. And whether you're here tonight or maybe you're watching online, you've never trusted Christ, oh, do that tonight. Do that tonight. It's not a big complicated thing. It's not about doing good works. It's not about giving money to the church or being baptized or anything like that. It's about going before the Lord in your heart and just saying, Lord, I know I'm a sinner, but I believe Jesus died for me. And I believe He rose again. Would you forgive me of my sin and save me? And friends, He'll take the blindfold off your eyes and give you a whole new life. Maybe you're a Christian, but you really haven't progressed in learning the truth. You've been introduced to Christ, you're a Christian, but you don't really know a lot about the light. You got more light than someone who's completely blindfolded, but your next step is to have a passion to get to know the truth. And then finally, what about the next generation? Have you committed to helping them prepare for the struggles they're going to face? That's not just knowing the truth. That's knowing how to apply the truth. Oh, friends, I think there's something here for all of us to draw from this. May God help us to love the light and to exercise, to work out, to discern the times. Dear Lord, I thank You for the truth of Your Word. I thank You for the opportunity we have to learn more about You. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in the sound of my voice tonight that doesn't know You as Savior, that tonight would be the night that they trust You. Lord, I pray that if there's some here who would say, I know the Lord, but I really haven't been passionate about learning more truth. Lord, I pray that You give them that desire to commit as much truth to memory as they can. And then finally, Lord, maybe there's people here, no doubt, who know a lot of truth, but maybe we haven't been as passionate or as wise in passing on not just the truth itself, but how it interacts with life. Because, Lord, ultimately, that's what's going to guide the generation to come. We won't always be here. But, Lord, if they learn the truth and love the truth and learn how it applies to life, Lord, that is a legacy we can rest in. Lord, we love you tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor to come and close as he sees fit. If any of you'd like to chat afterward, we'll be hanging out afterward for a little while if you want to chat. If you don't know the Lord, hey, we'd love to show you how you can trust Him. If you'd like to chat about something else, we can pray with you about something. We'd love to do that after the service here tonight. Pastor.
Blessing to have the Eversons with us, and it'd be good for us, I trust, to close in reflection. I'm going to have Susan and Paul come. Susan's going to play the song we just sang together, at least another stanza of it, that song number 512 in your songbooks, Speak, Lord, for Thy Servant Hears. And I trust as she does play, we can even end our night together and certainly our week as well, not the whole week, but the time that we've had in these services with Ben and reflecting and meditating on what God has spoken to us and through His Word to us, even through the messages both in preaching and in song. And as she plays, maybe we could use this as a time of invitation together and reflection. As the Lord has spoken to your heart, would you do business with Him? Let's just close our eyes and just bow our hearts before the Lord and perhaps speak to Him in prayer and use this time together as a contemplative in your own seat there and speak to the Lord as He's spoken to you. Would you talk to Him right now?